This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, a magnificent Monday, and it's magnificent for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is... it is the 250th birthday of the finest fighting force in the history of mankind, Semper Fi, Marine. I'm just warning you right now, you're going to hear this song maybe 20 times during the show today. Chris, can we just play it on a three-hour loop behind the entire show? Please, Chris, please, I have to have... Chris, turn it back up! Turn it up! Oh, happy birthday, Marines. I love you dearly. My brothers and sisters, I love you. All right, beyond the Marine Corps birthday, there's obviously a lot we have to get to. The government shutdown is ending. What happened? Why did we have a shutdown? Why is it ending? We will discuss that at length tonight. We are going to discuss the coming times, the economic troubles, and the various ways both parties will fail in attempting to address these problems. Of course, we still have to talk about mass deportation, Islamic Somali clan wars in Minneapolis, the newspapers trying to tell you to drink when you travel, and we have families broken up from communism, all that, Medal of Honor Monday an hour from now, all kinds of wonderful emails, and so much more coming up tonight on the 250th birthday of the United States Marine Corps on a Monday. Before we get to any of the other things, though, let's talk about the shutdown itself. The shutdown coming to an end. Before we discuss it, in order to set it up, we have to have a talk that we've had over and over and over and over and over again. We have to get after this basic fact. Because once we understand this basic fact, what has happened inside the Democrat Party, then everything that happens from there is understandable. And what we're about to talk about, it will explain the behavior of elected Democrats, Democrats in the media. It will explain the behavior you see from the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, your mom, your dad, your sister, your son, your coworker, your friend, your whoever, the Democrat in your life. Why do they act the way they act? Why do they say the things they say? So first, let's understand. There are two different kinds of people in this world. And I'm not actually saying that one is better and one's not. I don't know how much of this is nature or nurture, whether you are born this way or not born this way. I'm not going to speak to that. We can dig into that another time. But there are two kinds of people in this world. There are people who want to be individual thinkers. And there are people who want to belong to the group. And I'm actually not going to insult or compliment either type, but we must understand there are these two types of people. If you're sitting in class, let's go back to high school. It's your freshman year. You're sitting in class and you love vanilla ice cream. And the teacher says, hey, show of hands, we're going to have ice cream this Friday. How many of you want chocolate ice cream? And you see 20 other kids in the class raise their hand. Everyone but you raises their hand for chocolate ice cream. In that moment, being honest with yourself, are you tempted to raise your hand? Again, this is not an insult. It's human nature. Everyone else wants chocolate. Are you tempted to raise your hand, or is that just not something that would even occur to you? No, I like vanilla. Screw all these other kids. I want vanilla. It's two different types of people. Many people, I would argue the majority, would at least feel some tug to raise their hand. But there are people, and you are probably like this, doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. You don't care about what the group says. If you have a vote, you're using it your way. The Democrat voter is a herd animal. And herd animals, they will do things that can even be harmful to themselves, to their families, to their communities, in order to keep themselves as part of the herd. This is not even something we're about to discuss right now, but it goes perfectly along the lines we're talking about. Jimmy Kimmel, he's that late night host that's going to get fired next year. His wife cut ties with Trump voting family. It's a headline from the New York Post. She cut off her own family. Why? Well, she's part of the herd. And if the herd is going a different direction than her mother, her father, her sister, her brother, well, she's got to go with the herd. Democrats are herd animals. You must understand that about them. They are herd animals. And so, because they are herd animals, should you find yourself in position as a shepherd, if you will, you can guide that herd in many, many different ways and into many, many different directions. You know they're all going to stay together as a group. Now, politics. We just had an election last Tuesday, an election where we didn't fare well. And of course, as we discussed, there's all kinds of different reasons here or there. But what's one of the main reasons we didn't fare that well? Republicans lost in places like Georgia and Pennsylvania and New Jersey and Virginia. But where, why? All of it. Not all of it. Much of it comes down to simply motivation. Why are Democrats probably going to do well in the midterms? Normally, the president of the United States, whatever political party he's in, his party loses a lot of seats in the midterms. Why? Motivation. You're on the outs. You don't have power. You're angry. You don't have to be told to go get out there and vote. You don't have to be told to tell friends and family. You don't need any of that motivation. You're ticked off and you're going. Motivation. Who's angrier? Now, for 10 years, 10 years, think about how long that is. Where were you 10 years ago? What did you look like? I still had hair. What were you doing? For 10 years, the already programmable herd animals in the Democrat Party, Democrat voters, have been told over and over and over and over again that Donald Trump is the sum of all fears. He is the devil. He is a Nazi. He is Hitler. He's an authoritarian. He is, you name it, and they've said it over and over and over and over and over and over again, and they've said it because it has helped them motivate their voters. It just has. There's a reason. The Democrat in your area, you know what? Set aside national politics. I don't want you to think about the House or Senate. I don't want you to think about Gavin Newsom or Chuck Schumer. We'll get to them in a minute. Have you heard a Democrat in your state, maybe running for a state seat, a county seat, a local seat in your town or city? Have you heard any Democrat running for office talk about fighting Trump or standing up to Trump? Of course you have. In fact, that probably is the central theme. Well, that's weird. Why is the guy running for your local county board of supervisors discussing fighting Trump when at no point is he ever going to have any political power to fight Trump or stop Trump in any way? If it's not true, why would he run on it? Because he understands Donald Trump's name motivates Democrats. The Democrat in your life, the liberal Aunt Peggy in your life, hates Donald Trump. I know you already know this. I can see you nodding your head. Hates Donald Trump in an unreasonable fashion. And they can't even properly explain why. If you ever, and I've always encouraged you to do this, if you've ever had a calm conversation with them and just started asking probing questions, why? Oh, I hate Trump. He's an authoritarian. Why? He's the devil. He's a Nazi. Why? What is? They can't even get the words out. Why can't they lay it out in detail? If you ever asked me to lay out in detail why I despise Joe Biden, I would tell you, how much time do you have? And I could simply sit and explain all of it. Why? Well, they were never taught the why. The why doesn't matter. What they were taught, and they believe it in their bones, is that Donald Trump is the end of everything they care about. They have been thoroughly programmed for 10 years. That brings us to the shutdown. And the why. And why it's ending. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you really quickly about the holidays that are coming up. Thanksgiving is coming soon. You know, Christmas is coming soon. You know, this is a time of year that is wonderful. There's no question about it. But it is also a time of year that can be very, very difficult when there's somebody who's not there. When you've lost somebody. I know we're going through this in my family because my dad's gone. I want you to think about Gold Star families right now, fallen first responder families. The holiday season, while it can be wonderful, can be brutal for these people. This is the season of giving for Tunnel to Towers. This is the season where they get to do what they love the most, find that hurting family and do something wonderful for them, pay off their mortgage. $11 a month from you is how Tunnel to Towers accomplishes this. Go to t2t.org and sign up to give. 11 bucks a month. t2t.org. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, who told you to turn the music off? All right, fine. Okay, there we go. Just a couple more seconds is all I wanted. Just a couple more seconds. On a wonderful birthday, a Marine Corps birthday. Happy birthday, Devil Dogs, talking to you. Post, well, not quite post-government shutdown, but we're about there. Before we get into the why, I just kind of gave you a little bit of background on that. I wanted to let you know why the government isn't open right now. Just a couple things. I know about the Senate vote. There are all these rules that get very convoluted and confusing. So don't worry if you don't know all these rules. Even the people in the House and Senate don't know all these friggin' rules. They have to have somebody who tells them. Here's the skinny of it. The Senate does what it does. The House now has to do it as well. But they're not all sitting there on the House floor at all times waiting to have a vote whenever the time comes. There has to be a certain amount of time the Speaker gives the members of the House to get back and have the long story. It's going to be a day or two. All right. I don't know exactly when they're going to get everything through, but it's going to be a day or two. Now, why the shutdown at all? What is it? Well, this is the part, on top of what we already discussed, this is the part we have to get. You can, in various places, various ways, not just in politics, for your sports team, for your business, for your church, for your... You can, if you are not careful, you can create a monster that you will no longer be able to control. That old Dr. Frankenstein story, I always come back to it because it is so incredibly true. Democrats have for a decade thrived on outraging their base about Donald Trump. A decade. Okay, well, they've lived high on the hog. They've won a lot of seats on that. It's done them very, very well. But Now they have demands. Pause on them for a moment. Let's make this about you or about me. Let's talk about immigration, because you know that's something that I'm hot on. I know you're hot on. We need the mass deportation of 50 million foreigners to make your life more affordable, your country cleaner, safer, better in every imaginable way. It has to happen. You know, because you've learned over the years, how many freaking foreigners in mass we have welcomed into this country, to the point that now the Somali clans are having voting wars in Minneapolis. Depending on which clan you're from, that's your chances of winning the primary. That's how bad immigration has gotten. All right, so you're already there. You got it. We're mad about immigration. I'm mad. You're mad. We're both mad. All right. Now, I'm a GOP politician. I'm a low-T weenie loser like James Lankford, Republican senator of Oklahoma. I come out and I say to you right now, hey, guys. That's kind of how he talks. That's, at least that's what I hear. Hey, guys. You know what? I don't want to deport anybody. In fact, I think we should go get another 500,000 people from Somalia and bring them in. Do I even have the option for that? Amnesty-loving losers like James Lankford, even he knows he has to sell his amnesty bills as border security bills. Because I'm already mad about immigration. You don't have an option now as a senator. You have to serve me and my interests and my anger and my fear at some level. Well, take your anger at immigration and crank the volume on that up by about 1,000. And that's how angry the average Democrat voter is about Donald Trump. Why is he there? He shouldn't be there. I don't understand. He should be in prison. We arrested him. We tried to kill him 2 times. Ah! This is how these people think. He shouldn't be there. And now they are making demands of their representatives in the House and their senators. You better stop Trump. I'm telling you, stop Trump. You told me you would stop Trump. You told me he's the devil. You told me he's Adolf Hitler. And you ran for office and you told me you would stop him. But here's the thing about the way the House and the Senate works. Even if you have the majority, it's really hard to get anything actually done. Really by design. Think about this. We have the House. We have the Senate. We have the presidency. How many bills have passed? I mean, bills that you would love or I would love. The best we've gotten, the best in a year, has been what Trump called the one big beautiful bill, which was just really a continuation of things with a little extra here and a little extra there. With the House, Senate, and presidency, we haven't gotten anything done. Nothing. Virtually nothing. When you're the minority party, you have nothing. Well, I misspoke there. You do have one thing, and only one thing. You do have leverage.
We need to do this while we have the leverage.
Of course, there will be, you know, families that are going to suffer. But it is one of the few leverage times we have.
You reopen the government and we lose our leverage. There has to be an agreement right now. That's what this whole shutdown is about.
Republicans control the House, the Senate, and the White House. Frankly, this is our only moment of leverage.
Leverage, leverage. But what leverage is that? We'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, you know what I did today? I went for a walk. You know that's my thing. I love walking. I walk around my area. When I travel, I walk. I walk cities. I walk mountains. I like to hike. I like to walk. It's my thing. I don't run. I walk. And I thought about it today. What if there's a day when my knee hurts and I can't? Is there something physical you enjoy that you can't do anymore because it hurts? Maybe it's pounding nails. Maybe it's walking, swimming, playing pickleball. What if you could do it all over again, pain-free? Relief Factor can give that back to you by taking the pain away. Not temporarily, not masking it for a couple hours, going to the root of the problem, the inflammation. Take it every day. It will build up in your system and the pain will disappear. 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I almost forgot to mention, I think I got shot this weekend. I will explain, and well, hopefully as soon as I'm done with this, I'm going to explain exactly what happened. I'm not sure I got shot, but I do think I probably got shot. Oh, I'll explain in just a little bit, Chris. Let's finish up on this government shutdown stuff. So Democrats have been radicalized. Their base believes that Donald Trump is the end of all things. And now they have made demands of their members in the House and their senators. They've made demands. They want you have to do something. Do something. Why won't you stop Trump? Give me something. So Democrats are desperate to give their people a win. This is generally a very dangerous place to be in politics. When you feel like you have to give the people some kind of win at some point in time. So what was the gamble? The gamble was simple. Use the leverage they had to shut down the government and cause pain. The only leverage you have when you're the minority party, yeah, you can stop this law or stop that law, but if you actually want to get things given to you, you have to be a terrorist? Is that too far? But you essentially have to do that. No, we'll just make everybody miserable. Sean Duffy said this, I think this was Saturday.
To answer your question, it's only going to get worse. I look to, you know, the 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, you're going to see air travel be reduced to a trickle. We have a number of people who want to get home for the holidays. They want to see their family. They want to celebrate this great American holiday. Listen, many of them are not going to be able to get on an airplane, because there are not going to be that many flights that fly if this thing doesn't open back up.
I had a flight canceled on Friday. I was supposed to fly out. Gone. Canceled it. People having their flights canceled. The only leverage Democrats had was to shut down the country. So why did it take so long? Angus King, he's one of the Democrats who actually voted to reopen it, went on the news, said this.
You have to go back to what the strategy was at the beginning of the shutdown. There were two goals, both of which I support. One was standing up to Donald Trump. The other was getting some resolution on the ACA premium tax credit issue. The problem was the shutdown wasn't accomplishing either goals, and there was practically, well, there was zero likelihood that it was going to. In terms of standing up to Donald Trump, the shutdown actually gave him more power. Exhibit A being what he's done with SNAP and SNAP benefits across the country.
Here was Senator Shaheen.
Unfortunately, we've got, after 40 days, we've got, as you pointed out, air traffic control that's a mess. We've got government workers who are not getting paid. We've got people who can't get food. We've got mothers and children who can't get their WIC benefits. And so we need to end that suffering.
Chicken is a very dangerous game. You know what chicken is, right? This goes back to movies like Rebel Without a Cause. That's an old James Dean movie. Chris, don't watch it. It's really old and boring. But Rebel Without a Cause. But you know what chicken is. Two cars line up facing each other, start driving towards each other. And the game, if you can call it that, is who's going to swerve first? But it is a dangerous game, because you're banking on the other guy swerving first. And if he's not swerving, how long do you last before you swerve? Chicken is a dangerous game. Democrats, in their desperation to do something to stop the big evil Nazi Donald Trump, Democrats decided to play chicken. And they were banking on the low-T GOP doing what it has always done, caving on something. Even if it was something small, give them a little morsel, and they could call that little morsel a win. And so I'm about to do something I don't know if I've ever done on this show. Honestly, I feel kind of icky even saying it, but I have to give the GOP props. It doesn't look like they're going to give up anything for this. I know there's a promise of a future vote on something, but not even a promise anything will pass. The GOP didn't blink, didn't swerve. Now, here's the disaster for some Democrats, and all you and I can do is sit back and enjoy watching the circus monkeys throw poop at each other. Guys like Chuck Schumer. Chuck Schumer is obviously the Senate minority leader, an enormously powerful man, United States senator, longtime senator from the state of New York. But Chuck Schumer, as we've discussed, doesn't really believe in anything. He doesn't believe in Democrat politics or Republican politics. He's not a communist, but he has to pretend. The insane people have taken over his party. The Democrat base is fully radicalized, violent, and communist now. There are radical communists inside the House and Senate now. And Chuck Schumer's hold on power is fading away, to put it mildly. Chuck Schumer couldn't afford to have the shutdown end. They're already on television calling for his head because it ended.
You think Chuck Schumer needs to go after tonight?
He should have gone a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. Yes, you talk about aim and not meeting the moment, right? Every time he gets in front of a camera, the average Democratic voter out there screams, be done with you, be done. And this.
Now let's focus on that, what he just said. What does that mean? Meeting the moment. He's not meeting the moment. Far be it from me to defend Chuck Schumer, but what's he supposed to do? If you've decided to play chicken and they're not swerving, what's the plan? What is the plan? What are you supposed to do? He had no options. His only option now is to pathetically go on to the Senate floor and fake outrage as he reads this speech.
I must vote no. This healthcare crisis is so severe, so urgent, so devastating for families back home that I cannot in good faith support this CR that fails to address the healthcare crisis. The American people know who is inflicting this healthcare trauma on them, Donald Trump and the Republicans. Healthcare costs made a major impact on the 2025 election, and they will certainly have an even greater impact on the 2026 election.
Chuck Schumer is a man desperately trying to keep his seat in the Senate. He's desperately trying to stay minority leader, in case you're wondering what that does for you. Well, all United States senators are very powerful. There's no question about it. Senator Shaheen, when she walks out of her office building, she may have a staffer or two, but she actually has to walk over to her car and hop in her electric-powered Kia and drive to whatever apartment she's in. When Chuck Schumer walks out of his office, he's flanked by armed security with a fleet of armored vehicles waiting for him to whisk him away wherever he wants to go. There are large differences in the amount of power you have as someone in leadership versus just a run-of-the-mill person. And Chuck Schumer is a power monster, if you will. It's all he seeks. It's all he cares about. And he's watching as the desperate, deranged, evil, violent, communist base of the Democrat Party is begging to take it away. And people like Bernie Sanders pouring gas on the fire.
As everybody knows, just on Tuesday, we had an election all over this country. And what the election showed is that the American people want us to stand up to Trumpism, to his war against working class people. to his authoritarianism. That is what the American people wanted, but tonight, that is not what happened.
All you and I can do is sit back and enjoy the show. Now, before we get back to insurance costs, because that is on our mind, and $2,000 dividends that Trump's floating out there, all this populism stuff, I do have to tell you about maybe being shot. I don't agree with it, but everyone's arguing with me. I'll talk about that in a moment. Before I talk about that, Fred has been going through a tough time. Don't worry, nothing's wrong. It's just that grandma's in town, my mom, and so whenever she's not at the house, whenever she dares to leave and go home, he just lays by the front door whimpering endlessly until she comes back. This is what we have to deal with at all times in the house. It's pathetic. And this would normally be the time where Fred would send his dinner back, if you will. Fred has a nervous stomach. That all stopped when we started sprinkling Rough Greens on Fred's food. Rough Greens, with the live nutrients, vitamins and minerals, digestive enzymes, probiotics. You want your dog to be healthier, happier, and make fewer messes? Why don't you try a free jumpstart trial bag of Rough Greens? Go to roughgreens.com, use the promo code Jesse. Roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday, 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. And of course, we can't forget what matters most today. Happy birthday, Marines. So I'm just going to lay out for you what happened on Saturday. You can make a decision for yourself, but here is what happened on Saturday. I'm still not exactly sure what I believe. On Saturday, my oldest son, James, just turned 17. I know I told you he was 17 on the radio many times before. That's just because I forgot how old he was. He was 16. Now he's 17. And I didn't realize this till my youngest son heard the show and said, "Dad, you know you got his age wrong, right?" So now he's 17. And no, contrary to what Ob says, that's not a sign I don't care. 17. We live in the Houston area. South of us is a town called Galveston. Galveston, Texas. You've probably heard of it. It's down on the ocean. Really, really fun. It's definitely a dirty beach town, but a fun dirty beach town. You can go down there, get a burger, look at the water. I don't know if you want to go swimming, but you go down, look at the water, do some fishing. Galveston's a good time. They also have a naval museum, and they do haunted ghost tours of Galveston. It's been wiped out by hurricanes before, so the people think this all, whatever, it's touristy garbage. We as a family, me, Ob, the boys, and my mom, who's in town, we all hop in the car on Saturday, and we start driving down to Galveston. We are driving towards the Naval Museum. We want to go check out these ships, you know, teach the boys about the troops, all that kind of stuff. We're driving. It's just a two-lane road, and as far as I can recall, there is no car behind me. Because I know what you're going to say. I'm just laying out for you what happened. Was this a road rage incident, something like that? I had had no run-ins with anybody, to my knowledge, and there was no car behind me. I need to stress this. As far as I know, there was. He was a ways back. We are driving. We start to cross a bridge. Boom. Back tire goes out on the driver's side. Not a leak. You could hear it was, you could just hear it. Anyone who's ever had a tire blowout knows what it sounds like. The car, want to make sure I give it credit, car was incredibly stable, didn't lose control. That's easier with the back tire, I realize that. But immediately, blinking notifications, tire pressure at zero. We're not losing the tire. It's lost. Okay, crap. All right. Not the end of the world. Truth is, I've been wanting to teach the boys how to change a tire anyway. It's one of those skills every man needs to know, and I'm a bit of a pro at it myself, if I may say so. We are, by the grace of God, this never happens when you get a tire. It's a pretty empty road, and there's a huge empty parking lot for some big building. I forget what it was, but a huge empty parking lot. We pull in, pull over, nice flat area, totally calm. Don't have to worry about being driven over. Look, a flat tire sucks. I'm not going to say it was wonderful. I'm not going to say some potty words didn't come out in the course of the time, but no big deal. Take the tire off. There is, and you can see this, I put it up on my social media, at Jesse Kelly. I'm sure the show will probably retweet it, make it easier for you, at Jesse Kelly Shows, the show X account or Twitter account, so you can look at it yourself. There is not just a hole in the tire. There is a hole in the wheel. And the hole in the wheel is from the outside in, meaning something punctured the tire from the outside, went clear through it, and punctured the wheel. Now, my wife, my mom, they initially, I mean, just got to be half joking, but we got shot. I dismissed it. I still think I'm dismissal of it. We took it into the dealership after we replaced the tire, and they all said, I think maybe you got shot. And I said, nah, who shot me? No. So I make some calls. You are well aware that I have some friends in the military industry, if you will, some highly, highly trained individuals I call friends, and I texted them the picture. And I told them what happened. And to a man, they said, dude, I think you got shot. I am still having a very hard time believing this. Please do not fret and worry. I should point this out. If someone did shoot out my tire, I believe it is accidental. And the reason I say that, the parking lot where we pulled over, if someone had shot out my tire with the intention of shooting me, they would have been easily able to kill me while I was changing the tire. I was standing in the middle of the parking lot and no one took any other shots at me to my knowledge. What, Chris? Chris said, was there a hole in the rubber? Yes, hole in the rubber. From the tire, the rubber part, all the way through the metal part. I don't want to sit here and honestly say, I know I teased it. I don't want to say I got shot. I still find that hard to believe. But I also don't have another explanation. What, Chris? Chris said shot at. Well, yeah, I mean, the vehicle got shot. Yeah. And I don't know what happened. I don't know. It was biker week down in Galveston, so there are going to be more guns down there than usual. But this was also at 4 p.m. We weren't cruising Galveston at midnight with the drunken bikers either. I mean, we're just family out cruising towards the museum. I don't know. Everyone's fine. Thanks be to God. Everyone's fine. Nobody hurts. Just a tire. Now, it is a tire and a wheel. Not to sound like Jewish producer Chris, but that's going to be expensive, extremely. And plus, it tore out the fender lining, the explosion, and who knows what else. It was bad, but we're all here. There you go. Let's do Medal of Honor Monday. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.